So go to 1 John tonight. 1 John, and we will continue our study here in this epistle written towards the end of John's life, later in the first century. One of the last books written of the New Testament. This was the Apostle John who spent much time with Jesus. He refers to himself as the disciple that Jesus loved, very close, part of the inner circle. And we've looked through chapter 1 and studied there and saw how his emphasis is that you may know that you have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ, chapter 1, verse 3. We are in chapter 2, and we introduced the theme of the love of God last time we were together as we talked about the mark of a true believer. Talked about how a true believer is someone who is, it's not just what you say. In other words, I say that I'm a believer or that I'm a Christian. It's that you have the works to show that you truly are a believer in Jesus Christ. Now, in no way are we saying that works save you, but works do display God at work in you. And so John here, as he's writing to these churches, wants them to understand true fellowship with the brethren and with the Father. We've talked about how Jesus Christ is the answer to our sin problem, and truly He is. He's the only answer. And so let's pick up where we'll get a little context in verse 5, chapter 2, verse 5. And I want you to hold on to the four-letter word love. I want you to hang on to that as we read down through this passage, and I want you to see how this is used by John to help give us an example or to illustrate for us very clearly this mark of a true believer, this believer that is, it looks like Jesus, and this is seen through his love. Verse 5, but whoso keeps his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked. Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment which you had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you've heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past and the true light now shines. He that says he is in the light and hates his brother is in darkness even until now. He that loves his brother abides in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness and knows not whither he goes, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. So John takes this theme of love, and he is now going to introduce this illustration of personal relationships between brethren. And you read it, we saw it, this idea of one that is hating his brother is really showing his true colors, his true person, his true identity. Now, we started in verse 5 because it really is where we are introduced to the beginning of John's argument, because he says there that the love of God is perfected in him who keeps his word. Now, this love of God that is in him is fully fulfilled, and this really is a twofold concept here, in that the love of God is at work in him, certainly. A believer is the true picture of God's love. As you and I realize the grace that God has shown to us, it's God's love, for God so loved the world. But as he's talking here to believers, not only is this love of God just manifested and shown through us, but the love of God is a part of who we are as believers in Jesus. It is the fruit of a Christian's life. It is to be lived out and manifested through us. So God's love is in us, and it is to be lived out through us. That love of God is something that we know that we are to love God, and we are to love our neighbor as ourselves, right? Remember those that question that was posed to Jesus, which is the greatest commandment? And his answer was pretty clear, wasn't it? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. So, this love in a believer's life, it's an exhibition of who we truly are, our identity. Of course, verse 6 really tells us that we are to be living just as Jesus lived. As he walked, so we are to walk. So verse 7 is, brother, in a term of endearment, and he says, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment, which you had from the beginning. And of course, I don't know if you were confused by this, but I was a little bit, because he says, I don't write a new commandment to you, I'm actually writing an old commandment to you. And then in verse 8, he says, again, now a new commandment I write unto you. And it is very perplexing at first, until you kind of dive a little deeper and understand that certainly this concept of the love of God is nothing new. In fact, we have the body of the scriptures that talk to us about the love of God. We see it in the manifested in the Gospels, as Jesus spoke of it, as we've already referred. And of course, Jesus is drawing from where? From the Old Testament scriptures. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5 says, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. Leviticus 19:18 says, thou shalt not avenge, nor bear any grudge against the children of your people, but thou shalt love your neighbor as thyself. I am the Lord. And so we see that Jesus, as the Gospels record his teaching, speaks of this love and this commandment that really has its origin and its bearing from the very beginnings of the Scriptures. This love of God. In fact, the Jewish people seemed to understand this when Jesus was dialoguing with the lawyer in Luke chapter 10. The lawyer comes up and asks Jesus, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, what is written in the law? How readest thou? And the lawyer answered him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And Jesus said unto him, you've answered right. Now this do, and you shall live. And notice the emphasis on the action. Do it. You can say it, but do it. We also have recorded for us, and you can turn to this one in John chapter 13, an emphasis on these important truths of love from Jesus in John chapter 13. John chapter 13 in verses 34 and 35, we read it as Jesus here is speaking to his disciples. They are unsettled. They are uncomfortable about the situation to come. Jesus is going to be leaving them. He's told them that. And now he is ministering comfort to them through truth. He's teaching them. He's preparing them for his parting and for the coming of the Spirit. And one of the things he does is he gives them a new commandment. Verse 34 and 35, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another." And it is interesting as you watch, as you follow through the Gospels, how you see this emphasis transition from simply just, and it's not a simple thing, but generally speaking, loving the Lord your God and loving your neighbor as yourself, to more specifically, let's love one another as Jesus is preparing his people for the church to come. That's not discounting that we aren't to love others outside of the church, but you do see him emphasizing, hey, love one another, disciples. Because the watching world is going to see this, and that's how they're going to know that you're my disciples. Jesus, in that text, called this a new commandment. Why was it a new commandment? Because he was taking what had already been given, and he was specifically applying it to this context. They knew about the love of God, that important commandment. They knew about loving their neighbor as themselves. And I dare say the readers of the Gospel, or of this epistle of John, had heard from the very beginnings of their church these teachings of love God with all your heart, love your neighbor as yourself. Think about it with me as the apostles were traveling around those days, and as they would approach Asia, probably the Apostle Paul, at least according to Acts, was the major church planter there, but we know John had some influence, Timothy, of course. But think about them as they would go into a place and declare the gospel of Jesus Christ, and people would be coming to faith, Jew and Gentile alike, and they would be all gathered together, and what would be some of the more foundational teachings that would be laid out for these people? Well, you can see that love, especially loving one another, was one of those important things. Think about the book of Acts with me and how you see this. What's interesting is love is not mentioned in the book of Acts at all by its word. You put love in your, look for love in the concordance in the book of Acts and you don't see it. I thought that was very interesting. But do you see love in the book of Acts? Absolutely. And you think about that day of Pentecost and the results of that, and the people began ministering together. Remember that? Incredible. You think about the role of the deacons, those widows that needed assistance. That's love. You think about that Stephen's cry at his death. Remember that? That he was his dying breath. Lord, what? Forgive them. That's love. You think of Ananias' ministry to Saul at his conversion. God, I don't want to touch this guy. He's the persecutor of the church. But he obeyed. That's love. That's love. Think about the church praying all night for Peter in jail. That's love. Loving one another. Think about Paul and Silas in that ministry to the jailer. I mean, he was the jailer. They were free. But they stuck around because they loved. Paul and his determination to persevere despite the sure dangers in Acts 20, it's fascinating. I'm going to continue to minister. Why? Because so that people hear the gospel. That's love. The epistles. Listen to what some of the epistles say. Romans chapter 13 and verse 9. It says, "For this thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet, and if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love works no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law." And that is written in Romans, as Romans was the epistle not to these churches in Asia necessarily, but to Rome. But you see how important love was in Paul's teachings to the church. Galatians 5:14, "For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." James writing. In James chapter 2 and verse 8, he says, "If you fulfill the royal law, according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, you do well." You do well. 1 Corinthians 8, 3 says, "But if any man love God, the same is known of him." Emphasis on love, and love of God. In 2 Timothy 2:19, doesn't say love in here, but you see it. "Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal. The Lord knows them that are his, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity." Loving God. And so, in 1 John, as we think about, "I write no new commandment," verse 7, "unto you, but an old commandment which you had from the beginning." The old commandment is the word which you have heard from the beginning. Now, when you see this phrase, and you're going to see this phrase from the beginning throughout this epistle, allow the context to help you interpret it, because it will have some variation of meaning as you look through it. Allow the context to help you understand it. But in this context that in which we are seeing it tonight, we see that in my view, that John is pointing us to those commandments foundational to the Christian faith and to the church. Jesus, as we've already looked, made these clear, and the epistles have expanded on them, and they find their basis in the Jewish law. So in other words, really, if you want to speak of the beginning, you could go all the way back to the beginning in Genesis and in the law, and you could find this truth. But ultimately, it would have been something that, even in the context of the early church, from the beginning of the early church and its foundation, these were truths. Also, I don't want you to miss this link. When I say link, word, this word at the end of verse 8, "The old commandment is the word which you have heard from the beginning." And who is the word? Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ testified that he came to fulfill the law, didn't he? And just prior in verse 6, we are to live as Jesus lived, the very one who has come to show us what the perfect righteous life looked like and what it meant to truly love God and to love one's neighbor. Indeed, Jesus spent time illustrating that. Remember the parable of the Good Samaritan when that man came up and asked, "Well, who is my neighbor?" after Jesus has declared the commandments. Yeah, Jesus, he had fun with that one. "I'll let you know who your neighbor is." And it all came boiling down to this Samaritan who was hated by the Jews. And so, in verse 8, now we see this little, it's kind of confusing, but I believe it will, I trust it will unwrap for us here. Because we see again, "A new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you." Now if we follow the pattern that we saw in the Gospel of John with Jesus, and Jesus says a new commandment, and he talks about, "You love one another, and by this shall all men know that you are my disciples." He's taking the concept and the importance of love, and he's drawing it to a specific application in a specific group of people in their context, directing it towards the days of the church. Well, here, as he is talking about living a life according to God's standard, and how do I say that, or why do I say that? Well, remember, in chapter 1 of our letter, of this 1 John, verse 5, we see the perfect standard of God. What's it? What is that? God is what? Chapter 1, verse 5. God is light. And in him is what? No darkness at all. And that's key. All right? Because what does that do? That's emphatic. That makes it even more blaring. No darkness at all. Not even a hint of it. It's like the clean room that my father-in-law has to work in to get clean, so that they, when they do all their parts in their factory, that where they clean certain car parts, which makes no sense because car parts are always dirty in my mind, but they have to have this clean room, and it can only have a certain amount of particles in it. Not even that is completely clean, but it's that idea of God, there's no darkness at all. So we have this perfect standard of light. And so he says, the new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you. Well, who is he talking to? Well, to believers. And this love of God is going to be in him. It's true in Jesus. And it is true in you. Because of what Jesus has done for you, Jesus Christ, the advocate, the righteous, the propitiation for our sins, the love of God is perfected in us. It is fully fulfilled and brought to its completion, all the way in. God is all in with you and me in his love. He says, because the darkness is past, and the true light now shineth. That's the testimony of a Christian. That's the testimony of Jesus Christ in our life. And the fact that we no longer are to be living in the darkness, but the light of Jesus Christ shining in us. So why is this a new commandment he's writing? Well, he's talking about, hey, listen, we're going to direct this truth and these commandments directly to you as a believer, and use Jesus' perfect example to illustrate how you ought to be and ought to be living your life. For this is true in Jesus Christ, and it is true in you. The darkness is past, and the true light now shineth. This is not the first time that he's brought in the theme of light and darkness, and we understand that, I believe. We understand that in God there's no darkness at all. He's already established that. The true light now shineth. Well, what is that true light? I gotta tell you, it's not you or me. God is the light. And who is in you? Jesus Christ, or the Spirit, whoever you want to... Jesus is in you, the light of the world. The true light. So, now we come to verse 9. So with that as our foundation and basis of this, we look at verse 9. And he that saith... Uh-oh. Man. He keeps going back to this person that says things. He that saith he is in the light, and what? Hates his brother, is in darkness even until now. Now you sit back and you might say, well, why didn't he just come straight out and say, he that says he hates his brother is in darkness? I mean, come on. I mean, isn't that what really he's trying to say here? Who really says that? Especially professing believers who are part of a church. But here he is seeking to confront people and help you and I understand what it means to have true fellowship with God. And that means we got to be honest with ourselves. We got to be true and genuine people. Both what we say and how we live needs to match. But boy, how easy is it for us to say things, but not to live them? God knows us pretty well, doesn't he? I face it often. You want to please men, and you want people to affirm you, what you do, or think well of you, so you would do your best to say the right things. What is truly in your heart, in my heart? Well, he that saith he is in the light, and hates his brother is in darkness even until now. Now, this is not just a one-time statement where he says, I hate you, brother. No, this is a way of living. It is very sad to me when I come across families that are torn apart as a result of something that happened years ago. And there are Christians in this family who are refusing to talk to another brother. It's sad, isn't it? What does that tell you about that professing Christian if they are holding out and despising someone for something that they did years ago, or even if they did it yesterday? What is this communicating? What is this telling the watching world? What is this communicating to the brother who is on the outside? It is for that reason at funerals, I will say that one of the reasons we get together for funerals and memorial services is for reconciliation. It draws families together. Maybe you're here tonight and there's a rift. There's a division in your family. Does this verse nail you in between the eyes? He that says he is in the light and hates his brother, is despising his brother, is in darkness even until now. Why is that true? Because you're continually living in such a way you're despising someone is not true characteristics of Jesus Christ, who in verse 6 we are to walk as he walked. Perfect example of Jesus is how he handled Peter. I mean, Peter all out denied him. But you don't see hatred. You don't see despising. All you see confronting, but you see love, don't you? What do you see at the end of the Gospel of John? Jesus is pursuing Peter and drawing him in and launching him forth with this confirmation: I care about you. You are special. I'm launching you. Go feed my sheep. Think about how important that is to Peter as he is launched out by Jesus Christ, experiencing his love. Well, as John has already illustrated in chapter 1 and already in the beginning of chapter 2, he that saith, when you see those words, you better watch out. This is not going to be good. Because if it just stops with your words, there's red flags that should go up. So he that saith he is in the light and hates his brother is in darkness even until now. Verse 10, well, he that loveth his brother, notice now it does not say, it's not a saying, it's an action now. He that loves. So you and I, if you get nothing else out of this, be people of action, not just words. People of action. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. That's an interesting phraseology there, that word of idea of a stumbling. It's scandalous and, something that you trip over. And loving his brother places someone as in the light. You are abiding in the light. And we know that holding a flashlight, walking down a mountain trail, is a lot better than walking down the trail without one. And we know that life is full of all kinds of pitfalls and rocks and places that will want to trip us up. It could be a family reunion and someone says something that just rubs you the wrong way. It could be a boss at work that overlooks you for a promotion. Whatever it might be, these things are there, and they could trip you up if you're not abiding in the light. You see, abiding in the light opens our eyes to truly what is before us. What is God doing? What is the devil doing? What is truth? What is a lie? And you can navigate through in the light. Well, verse 10, he that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there's none occasion of stumbling in him. But, verse 11, he that hateth his brother is in darkness. He's already said that in verse 9. He is in darkness, he's walking in darkness, and he does not know where he goes because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. I'm reminded of what we looked at this morning in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Don't be deceived. John is giving us a clear warning here. Be people of Christ in action, not just in words. Because he that just says things but does the opposite, he that says he loves his brother, but really he's hating him, really despising him. His state is a sad state. Oh, he doesn't plan on going there. He doesn't necessarily desire to be there. And in fact, this could be a great exhortation for one to get out of there. Because look at the state in which those kind of people are in. They are in darkness, they're walking in it, they don't know where they're going, because that darkness hath blinded their eyes. All light has been repelled, and so they have no light in order to be able to see, to really see the true situation of their life. You know, and I appreciate how John is opening up our eyes, because sometimes in life we're just blinded to really to things that are out of line. And so we need to sit back and evaluate our life, especially in this area of loving one another and loving God. Because he's introduced that theme in verse 5, the love of God is perfected in him who keeps his word. And I trust that that is your desire and that is my desire to be that kind of person. So the love of God then is going to be perfected in us. And if that is true, then what you have living within you is the true light, Jesus Christ. Is that who's shining out of your life? Do your brothers and do your sisters, to those who work with you, to those who know you, see the love of God pouring out of you? This is an evidence of a true believer. You're genuine, because it's not about just what you say. Saying things are important, but it's what you do. Do those match in your life? Is there a relationship that God is bringing to your mind right now? You know, God does that, doesn't he? You hear something on the radio, you hear a song, you hear a sermon, and God brings something to your mind, and you're like, yep. And you feel his thumb pushing in. You know what, dear ones? As we have learned, true fellowship with the brethren and with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ, and that your joy may be full, those things will come as you apply these truths. and I trust that you confess your sin. He's faithful and he's just to forgive us our sins, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And that's what this hatred and despising is. It's unrighteousness. Confess those things to the Lord and walk in the true light. Because the darkness is past. And the true light is now what's shining in you. So we are equipped. We've got what it takes to live. To live in the light. To walk in the light. To walk as Jesus walked. And so do so. Lord, I thank you for this truth and this exhortation. I thank you for opening up our eyes to this application. Lord, I ask you that people will see the true light in our lives, in my life. God, encourage these dear people for the week ahead. Oh God, lift up their eyes unto your Son Jesus. Give us grace, give us mercy, give us wisdom. In Jesus' name, amen.